So hello and welcome everyone to True Alchemy, Transmute Loss, Illness, and Failure into Gold with Goddess Kali. My name is Laura Cornell. I'm from Divine Feminine Yoga, and I'm really, really glad to get to be here with you this morning. We just said hello to some of the live voices on the phone and saw some of your names on the webcast. And I know that many, many more of you will be listening to this and recording this, downloading this recording and listening later. So wherever you're joining us, many blessings, a great big welcome to you as we enter this very powerful journey of reaching out to embrace completely, completely embrace every aspect of our lives, including those aspects that might seem like a loss, that might look like an illness or a failure, and seeing how we can flow with that and open to it as another part of the divine journey, the amazing divine adventure of our life. And so what we're going to cover today is how to make friends with this energy of transition and transformation. It's constantly moving through our lives, sometimes in really big ways, and sometimes in smaller ways. We all go through those small daily losses, the thoughts that we notice we're having that are not serving us that we need to release. That's a Kali moment. And on a bigger level, it might be a bigger transition or loss that you're moving through. So welcome in whatever is going on or flowing through your life. It's early morning here on the West Coast. And I put on black this morning, actually, to honor Kali. And I want to really especially welcome those of you who are able to make it here from the West Coast, because it's an early Saturday morning. So I'm really delighted to have this extended time with you. I've planned 75 minutes, and there's so much rich and luscious material. What I really, really am getting quite passionate about and really want to share with you today is how the energy of the Divine Feminine serves as a metaphor for the soul activities of our life, the metaphor for the deeper soul journey of our life. So when we talk about the Divine Feminine, we're talking about that energy of flow and release, the energy of abundance and fullness, the cycles that go through our life and surrendering to it, and the different ways that the Divine Feminine shows up. And these have been put into archetypal forms as goddesses or gods in many, many traditions. And what we're looking at today is the yoga tradition. And so the different goddesses actually are part of one larger energy, but they serve as a template for the foibles and the challenges that we face in our life, and they help us to hold our difficult life experiences in a larger sacred container so that, for example, Kali, who was lost in transition, Lakshmi, abundance and beauty, Saraswati, intuition and guidance, and Durga, courage and power. What happens is when we get to know their stories, and when we see how their stories relate to our daily life, they become companions on our journey, and they expand our consciousness. So when we come to a struggle, we have a friend in that struggle, and we're able to hold it in a wider view. And then what happens, and this is a very tantric view of life, that our daily life is the fabric where we work out our spiritual evolution. And so this is the view that there's no separation between our life and spirit. Everything that happens is grist for the spiritual mill. And so that's what I love so much about the Divine Feminine. It's really a template to the soul. And I want to thank all of you who've been in touch with me over the last couple of weeks. I've been receiving a lot of emails in response to the videos that I put out recently on YouTube, with little short videos following the Festival of Navaratri and the Festival of the Divine Feminine. So I've been getting probably dozens of videos in response, emails in response to each of those videos, and also lots and lots of posts on the Divine Feminine Yoga Telesummit Facebook page. And I just really want to thank you, and I'm glad to have you listening to this call, because it's wonderful to hear from you, and it's also good to have a chance to go deeper. So that's what I'm really happy about today. So I know that some of you on this call know me, but many of you may not have met me, so I'll just give a really brief introduction. I was not always connected to the Divine Feminine in my own life. In fact, as a girl, feminine was something that I really rejected. And it's been actually through yoga that I really softened into relaxing and connecting with my body. And it's brought so much richness and so much juiciness into my life as an adult, and as I've grown through my life, to bring the Divine Feminine in. And, the yoga helped me heal from chronic fatigue, from episodes of depression that I'd been having, and from some eating challenges. And so it's just been such a wonderful journey with yoga, of deepening and expanding my life into flow and bliss, really, and relaxation and joy. And what I want to talk about today is this energy of release, which is the Kali energy. And so just to give you a little example from my life of how this can work, a couple of years ago I went through a very difficult loss. I'm sure many of you have been through similar things. This was a divorce. And it was a beautiful relationship that I thought was mine for life, and it left. And what happened was that I was able to go through that. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't difficult, and I'm not saying there wasn't a lot of challenge in there, but I was able to stay present to the moment and stay present to the feelings that I was experiencing, and very tender and very close to that. And what happened was that I was really able to open up, even while I was going through that experience, to the grace and the love that was right there for me in my life. And it was a very sweet time in my life. And what happened is that within just 2 years, I met the man of my dreams, and I'm happily remarried, and I'm really living in this place of tremendous joy and abundance, and it was greater than I could have ever imagined. And I'm not saying that I won't go through other difficult things in my life, but what I do want to say is that this yoga practice really helps us to lay down the struggle so that we're able to kind of lean into a difficult time, a difficult loss, in a way that that softens it and sweetens it, and that gives it a larger purpose, that then we flow through it so much more easily than if we were fighting it. So, what I see when people are not connected to the Divine Feminine, what a lot of us, and I've certainly been there, walk around experiencing, there's a lot of low self-confidence because we don't know if we're connected to Source. You can feel isolated, alone, discouraged. People will describe to me sometimes feeling like their light is in a closet rather than it's out where it can shine. And there's a lot of self-doubt, because if we're not connected to Source on a regular basis, we may not trust our intuition, and so we don't know if we're really standing in the ground of our intuition and that is connected to Source. And that's actually a painful place to be. It can also be a lot of fear. You're afraid to step into your truth. So what happens when you do get connected with the source of bliss in the body, with the source of radiant love that is present in the universe, and you feel that flowing through your life, there's a lot of confidence and peace and relaxation. You know you're doing what you were sent to do on this planet. That is such a wonderful feeling. And you're serving from a place that also serves you, rather than just giving and giving to the point of exhaustion. You move easily and joyfully through life's challenges, even major ones. Life becomes more pleasurable and enjoyable. Absolutely. And you constantly attract more beauty into your life. So you're in the right place today. Welcome to this call. You're in the right place if you'd like to deepen your spiritual journey through yoga. This is the place to do that. You're in the right place if you're a yoga teacher and you'd like to understand how to bring the Divine Feminine into your yoga classes. Because knowing the stories of the Divine Feminine is something you can take to your students. It just takes a very small drop of this wisdom, you know, put into a pose, woven into a guided visualization to really expand and enrich your yoga classes. So I really encourage you to take little bits from what we're going to be doing today into your classes. You're in the right place if you are ready to have more confidence. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We all want that. Relax in the tough times and open, just open to the bliss and relaxation that are here right now in this moment. You're in the right place if you're a curious yoga seeker. You might be a beginner in yoga and you want to know more about what it's all about. You are definitely in the right place. So what we're going to cover today, we're going to talk about how to take your most difficult life challenges and turn them into really great wisdom that brings you peace, that will continue to nourish your soul ongoingly. We're going to talk about how to move through transitions with grace and ease. We're going to go over 5 key principles for making friends with Kali, with the energy of loss and transition, so that we can really get what the universe is wanting to teach us with each of these lessons in a deep way. We can embody it, and then we don't need to repeat it. We can let it go as it moves through our lives. And then we're going to look at the relationship between this Kali energy of death and destruction and a Lakshmi's presence of beauty and abundance, and Saraswati's energy of intuition and guidance, and also Durga, who is strength and power. And when you see how all of the Divine Feminine energies flow and move through each other, and I just want to say this, four, you know, dividing it into four in this way is really arbitrary. It's one way to divide it that I find useful and that is common in the yoga tradition. It is arbitrary. But we're going to look at how these all flow in and out of each other and how to combine them, really, for a template for living with confidence, peace, and bliss and evolving on our spiritual path. We have 2 guests who are going to be sharing how they have moved with the Kali energy, because this can be a kind of a heavy energy, and I want to just kind of give you some inspiration that it's really possible. And then we're also going to do a guided visualization. And I'm going to go as deeply as I can with you in these 75 minutes. And for those of you who would like more, I will tell you how you can get more and how you can continue on this journey with me in an extended, ongoing way. So there will be that opportunity for those of you who want more than we can do in 75 minutes. I'm going to take a drink of water here. Okay, so let's dive into Kali. I want to start with a poem. This is a poem from Dana Falls, her book, Go In and In. For those of you who would like to look for this book, it's Dana, D-A-N-N-A, F-A-U-L-D-S. And just take a moment, get quiet in your body and breathe. This poem is called Allow. There is no controlling life. Try corralling a lightning bolt, containing a tornado. Dam a stream, and it will create a new channel. Resist, and the tide will sweep you off your feet. Allow, and grace will carry you to higher ground. The only safety lies in letting it all in. The wild with the weak. Fear. Fantasies. Failures. And success. When loss rips off the doors of the heart, or sadness veils your vision with despair, practice becomes simply bearing the truth. In the choice to let go of your known way of being, the whole world is revealed to your new eyes. And I'm going to read that last line again. In the choice to let go of your known way of being, the whole world is revealed to your new eyes. So I just want to name some of the losses and that might be represented by Kali. Often we think of Kali as a death, if someone in your life has died recently or you're facing your own death. It can be an illness, a serious illness, such as any major illness, a severe back pain that limits your experience, chronic fatigue, cancer, any illness that causes you to change your life. A divorce, a separation, losing a job, moving, losing a community, just changing communities. And then sometimes the things that look like really wonderful and truly are wonderful new opportunities represent a loss in another way. So having a baby, what a wonderful gift that is in a life. And a lot of things you're letting go of, your freedom, your time, your mobility and choices. Getting married. Closing is a wonderful new deepening and also closes off other opportunities. So those are just some of the things that represent Kali energy, but also just get letting go of thoughts. So you have a little spat with your spouse and then or your partner, and then you reflect on it later and you say, and you notice that you were holding on to a belief or a thought or a judgment of that other person. And that if you let go of that, the situation will smooth up, and that you really do need to let go of that judgment. That's a Kali moment as well. So I want to talk about some of the yoga information we have on Kali. The actual root of the word Kali is from Kala, which means black, time or death, black time or death. And Kali first showed up in the Mahabharata that the Bhagavad Gita is in. It's a very, very old scripture. And she was in there, she was Kali Ratra, which means the dark one of the night or the one of the dark night. And just a sec here. Ramakrishna, who was a great mystic of the 18th century, he said, the night sky between the stars is black. The deep ocean is black. And the infinite is mysteriously dark. But I love the most the inebriating darkness of my beloved Kali. I love that, just going into that dark space, the darkness of the sky, darkness of the ocean, the infinite, and the goddess Kali with Ramakrishna. And the most famous story from Kali comes from what's called the Devi Mahatmya, which is a scripture in the 6th century, and it's all about the goddess. Devi means goddess, and Mahatmya means great. And so I'm going to tell a little of this story. It's a lot of fun, and then we'll relate it to the principles of Kali. So in this story, life has gotten pretty bad, and the world has devolved to a state of it's not good anymore. There's not a dharmic goodness. And so the gods are trying to defeat the demons, but they can't. They're not strong enough. So they call on a goddess. They call on the daughter of the Himalayas, and they say, please help. And she sends them Durga. So Durga is there in the battle fighting all the demons. But what's happening is every time she kills one demon, his blood falls to the ground, and from the blood comes up new demons. And for this reason, the greatest demon that Durga is fighting is called Rakta Bija, which means the seed of blood, Rakta Bija. And seems like quite a problem. So Durga doesn't know what to do, so she furrows her brow. She gets very angry. She squeezes her brow, and out of her brow comes Kali. So Kali is really the fiercest, meanest, strongest aspect of Durga. So Kali then proceeds to fight the demons, and she wins. She is able to, actually, she starts to eat them up. She starts to go a little bit crazy, so she drinks the blood, and she starts to get inebriated with the blood. And Kali looks very fierce, okay? She's unusual looking. She's practically naked. She's just wearing a tiger skin. And so, you know, we have this tiger connection here with Kali. And other than that, her body is extremely emaciated and black, which is very unusual for any goddess in the yoga tradition. They're usually shown as more beautiful than that. She's her tongue is sticking out, her eyes are lolling around, and she's holding a staff that has a skull on the end. In some images, she's shown holding blood, which would represent menstrual blood, because the menstruation is a time of Kali. It's a time of loss and surrender, and also fertility. So in this picture, in the Devi Mahatmya, she's shown holding a staff with a skull on it, and around her neck is a necklace of skulls. Okay, she's wearing a necklace of skulls, if you can imagine. So she starts to dance, and she's drinking up the blood of all of these demons, and she gets so inebriated, she drinks them all up. She defeats the demon, but she keeps dancing, and she ultimately dances over and kills her own husband, who is Shiva. And so in some images, she's shown standing on the lifeless body of her own husband. In another image of this, or portrayal of this story, and there's many different variations, Shiva comes as a baby. Her husband comes as a baby to stop her. And what happens is she hears this crying baby, even though she's in the middle of the battlefield, kind of soaking up all the demons and drinking their blood, and she stops to nurse the baby, and that calms her down. So Kali is shown both as somebody who can stop the demons, as a powerful energy that will cut off your head, which represents severing the ego and any thoughts and beliefs that no longer serve us, cutting right through conditions that no longer serve us, even if we don't see that, and also as a compassionate mother nursing a baby. So she's both. So what does this mean for us in our lives, and what are the principles of Kali? The first one is to sanctify your difficult life experiences. So when something is happening that feels pretty awful, okay, think of Kali and let yourself remember that every aspect of your life is sacred. When you're going through a loss, it's very hard to feel that. It can feel excruciating. But if we can remember that we need to deepen into the dark in order to feel the light, if we're not willing to open to the dark, we will not be able to open to the light either. And when I was going through my divorce, which was extremely painful, I had a really helpful phone call from my friend Hasita, who is a yoga teacher in New York, and she's created Yoga Gaia. And I knew her because she worked with me when I was facilitating a group of yoga teachers who were looking at yoga and ecology and bringing more environmental awareness into their teaching and practice. And this was my dissertation research, and she was in that group that I facilitated. And she called me. And, if you want to look up Sita, by the way, I'll just say her website is yogagaya.com. I don't know if it's .com or org. Hasita Nadai, beautiful work. And Hasita loves the universe, and I love her for that. And what she said to me is, Laura, think about the supernova. If the original stars had not exploded in supernova, we would not have the higher elements. And so what you're going through, Laura, is like a supernova. Something's exploding in your life, and it's what will allow for more growth in your life. So if you think about that right now, we're sitting on planet Earth, and our bodies have oxygen and nitrogen and all the higher elements that did not exist in the first stars. And if there had not been supernovae, we would not be here today. So when something terrible is happening, you can just keep one little part of your mind open to what new life might come from this. You don't even have to know what it is, but just hold that possibility. The second principle of Kali is to surrender. Don't fight Kali. Don't fight. So much of our pain comes from wishing it was different, thinking we're doing it wrong. You're not doing it wrong. Perfect. So if you think of Shiva laying down under Kali, this is the attitude we're instructed to take to Kali. Just surrender to whatever is happening. And surrender to the higher wisdom of the universe, and just whatever the message of the illness is. I recently had some back pain a couple months ago that I was living with, and it was going on longer than I was really enjoying. And I actually had to eat laying down sideways because it was just, I couldn't sit for a few months. And so I was fine walking, and I could actually do my practice, but sitting wasn't working for me. And I had to really surrender into kind of the, well, this is how I'm going to be eating. So something very lovely came of it, something very luscious. Of this feeling of just relaxing with the universe when I was eating. So when a Kali moment comes to you, how can you really fully surrender to it rather than fighting it? I'm going to take a drink of water. The next principle of Kali is to allow yourself to be nourished by the Divine Mother. So just like you see Shiva, of the baby, drinking from the breast of Kali, when something difficult is happening in your life, give it time, give it space, and nourish yourself. So if that means spending more time with really loving friends, if that means being alone, if that means watching movies, if that means spending more time writing in your journal, putting yourself in a women's circle, being with loving friends, going in nature, whatever is going to really nourish your soul, give yourself time to cry as long as it takes, time to feel your feelings. There's research that shows that people who practice yoga have a stronger capacity to feel joy and also to feel sadness. And this is very important because being able to deeply feel your sadness is positively correlated with protection against depression. So when we're going through a difficult life experience, give yourself time to feel the sadness, and it will protect you against depression. And I'm not saying that depression is wrong or bad, but what we ideally want to get to is a place where the feelings and the emotions are deeply felt and released and moved through, rather than getting stuck. Okay? So give yourself time to feel those feelings. Cocoon yourself with love. The fourth principle of Kali is to cut loose and let yourself get a little bit wild. Kick up your heels. So you see Kali dancing wildly. And when we're, this is a really important principle for our lives. Let yourself live a little bit on the wild side. And especially the times when life is difficult. When you're going through a really big time, it's a time to not judge yourself for doing things a little differently. Let your hair down, get a little bit loose, dance, let your tongue out, you know, stick your tongue out. Do something you wouldn't ordinarily do. And the fifth principle of Kali is to be fearless. Face your fears. In India, one of the deeper spiritual tantric practices is to go and meditate in graveyards. Okay? I actually personally love graveyards. They're not, for whatever reason, very scary places. Maybe if I went at night, it might be. But what would be the graveyard in your life? What is it that would really scare you and be something that you might not want to do? And invite yourself to do that. That's Kali. And sometimes it's looking at what you're most afraid to lose in your life, something you're really holding on to. And if you can do some practices around embracing losing that now, before you lose it, it'll really open you up to joy. So that's Kali, is facing your fears. Okay. So I just want to tell you where we are in our time here. Two more very delicious things to do. We have two guests. And these are women who I know, who have worked with me. And this is actually this was recorded on Thursday when we first did this. And our first guest is Lucy. And Lucy is a yoga student of mine. And she's also in the women's wisdom and yoga circles that I lead here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And Lucy went through a difficult situation. I'm going to let her tell you about it last spring. And she was in the women's circle when she was going through this. And so I'm just going to let her tell you. Lucy, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming onto this call and being with us.
Thank you for asking me. I've really enjoyed hearing everything you've said up to this point. It was very helpful. You're taking notes.
Oh, good. Yay. I'm so glad it's been helpful. That's great. So Lucy has a story to share of something she went through in the spring while she was in the women's circle, and just how being in that circle was helpful to her and how the Kali energy worked in her life. So I'll just let you share, Lucy.
Okay. Well, when I came into the circle, I had been in a relationship for quite a while. It was about 8 years that I'd been in it, and I had known for a while that it wasn't working and that I needed to move on from this relationship. And I think the way that I've sort of operated in my life is when I have a difficult thing that I need to do, I kind of just duck my head, either avoiding it or, you know, kind of acting very decisively, but, you know, trying to avoid how I feel about it. And I think one of the things that the yoga circle did for me was it gave me a space to allow myself to feel what it felt like to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be in a group with a number of women, all of whom were at different phases in their life and dealing with, you know, deep, difficult issues. And I think for me to, like, experience the individuality of each woman's journey really allowed me to be okay with the fact that my journey doesn't look like anybody else's right now. It just is what it is. And mm-hmm. instead of like having to feel that what I was experiencing was somehow wrong or I was doing something wrong because it hurt
mm-hmm.
or because it was painful or was causing pain in somebody else's life,
mm-hmm.
that in fact it's just part of the process. And I think the circle really allowed me to hold that space and just move through it in a more caring way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And not feel sharing. Like what, yeah, and not feel like what I, you know, that this experience that I was having was somehow I was doing something wrong or, you know.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful what you're sharing, Lucy, that part of the pain is thinking we're doing it wrong. And thinking it should be different, and when we just drop that and surrender into this is how it is, things go better. Yeah. My heart goes out to you in sharing this again right now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you wanted to share about that?
Yeah, you know, something that was extremely helpful to me throughout this process was, you know, feeling like there were two elements to it. One was just the getting to hear other women's stories
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, drawing strength from their experiences and their honestly working through things in their own way. And you can hear another bell.
Okay, yeah.
I'm at my school right now, and that was the one noise I knew was coming, but that should be it. But the other thing was the writing exercises that we did, where you asked us to, you know, look to the part, a compassionate part of ourselves, and write a letter to ourselves from that place. And I was so continually, every time we did it, I was so surprised by this voice that came through, and you know, it made me think of that phrase of suspending disbelief. You know, like. It's so easy to think, I don't have any support. You know, there's not, if I ask, who's listening, you know, really, I mean. But to, like, suspend that disbelief, take the pencil, start writing, and, you know, ask to receive from this wiser, more compassionate being.
That's right.
And finding this voice that was just so unusual and so sweet and so supportive, whether it was a part of myself or, you know, bringing in a voice of a wiser being, you know, in some ways it doesn't really matter, but it was incredibly helpful, and it made me feel like, you know, going through this process, I can ask for help, and I am able to receive.
That's beautiful, Lucy. Thank you so much. I know we need to let you get back to what you're doing, but I really celebrate your courage in coming onto this call and sharing with everyone, and just your own beauty in going through what you've gone through.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you for your help through this, too.
Okay. Have a great rest of your day, Lucy.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I want to just breathe and honor Lucy for one moment here. The next woman that I've invited to share with you is Mary. Mary, are you there?
Hi, Laura, I'm here.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
So, great, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah,
Mary is a yoga teacher. And she's one of my clients that I'm working with. And she called me because she really wanted to get out more powerfully with some workshops on the wisdom goddesses and was feeling a little blocked. And I've really enjoyed working with her. And I asked her to come and share a story because it seemed very relevant to this collie work. So, Mary, I'll just let you share what you'd like.
Thank you, Laura. And you're right. I was feeling really stuck as a yoga teacher and really even as a person. I had a lot of frustration and discouragement that I was experiencing, and I had had several really powerful but painful dreams that really pushed me to ask for help. And so finding Laura, she and I did some emotional work to clear some of the issues and dissolve them, the things that kind of appeared in some dreams that I'd been having. So we did that, and then a few days later, I was out walking at a park, and some very old memories of an abortion that I had had began to surface in my thoughts. And I realized I had never, ever allowed myself, even decades later, to explore that very dark experience, which meant I had never really grieved it. And in particular, for the first time, I realized I had never grieved the loss of the baby that had come through me. And I have literally never, ever told this story to anyone because, well, for a lot of reasons, but I feel ready to tell it to you today because I recognize that it may perhaps be a common experience among women, and that I have found in a short time that being able to name it, to honor it, to recognize it as is part of fully owning it and releasing it. And so for decades, this was a deeply repressed experience of as part of my life. I'm not saying that I forgot, but it was just deeply, deeply repressed. It happened at a time in our country when it was illegal, so I had to travel somewhere. When I came back, my family kind of really unconsciously contributed to pushing it deeper inside of me by never, ever speaking about it. We never had one conversation about what had taken place. And all of this happened in the Midwest, so the culture there also imposed a lot of guilt and shame. And then I also remembered that while I was in the recovery room from this procedure, I was crying, and that a nurse came to my side and told me to stop crying, because if I didn't stop crying, I would not be allowed to leave and go back home, and I knew that I was a long way from home. So the tears stopped, and that also got pressed deep down inside of my body. So literally, as a woman, my connection to the feminine and to the birth and to creation had been severed. And for years, I would walk around saying, I'm not creative. I'm not creative. And I didn't even consciously connect it to that event in my life. So as the flood of these memories came up on my walk, I was able to stay present, as Laura said, lean into it. And I, for the first time, didn't want to run away. I really wanted to ask about all these feelings and the pain and the shame. And so I let myself explore, and I let myself imagine holding this baby in my arms for the very first and the only time. And I gave thanks to the baby for coming, for telling it I was so very sorry. And I let my heart continue to just break open more. And I somehow just knew that I had to keep staying right there in the agony of the pain. And I began to find that as I stayed, and who knows how long it was, it may have been an instant, but what was offered was an unmistakable influx, an outpouring of love, tenderness, forgiveness, and grace. And as all of this was happening to me, I was literally out in the midst of Mother Nature, so I had the gift and grace of feeling held and surrounded by creation, and every manifestation of the divine beauty of this earth. And so I somehow staggered home, and Laura and I discussed. I'm sure it wasn't pretty, as you say. Well, beauty comes in very strange ways.
That's a calling, yes.
Yes. And Laura and I discussed all of this on our next Skype call, kind of connecting all of the dots of what we'd been noticing and how one thing led to another, just like this graceful sort of domino effect. And I was able to see from a very evolved perspective what had taken place. I was able to connect to the sadness, but on the other side of that sadness came this unbelievable gratitude and a recognition of my strength as a woman and the resilience that women carry. and that I am essentially carrying that wisdom for other women. And so
yes.
The whole event has become my personal remembrance of the Divine Feminine. And I wanted to start saying that it was my reconnection to the Divine Feminine, but part of me joyfully realized, oh my gosh, I was never disconnected from the Divine Feminine. So it was just an incredible healing that flooded me with joy.
This is such a beautiful example,
oh
Mary, of turning a really painful experience into that nugget of
exactly.
wisdom for your life. You're just giving, I couldn't have said it better. Thank you. It's just great.
Oh, thank you, Laura. And I just close by saying it was the work we had done together, the emotional freedom and the release techniquing and this very gentle holding of sacred space that allowed these deeper remnants to come forward. So I guess I just want to invite people to trust and also to really ask for help because it's here in a very powerful way. So I just want to say thank you so much and wish everyone to receive the gems of who they really are.
And just to complete this story, one more point, Mary,
mm-hmm.
you are now reaching out in new ways. You're subbing, you're teaching more, and you're set up to do your workshops, and you're going to be in a teacher training. I mean,
yes.
all these have opened up for you since then.
Yes, and it was a real counter to that statement I was making, I am not creative. What has flowed is this incredible release of creativity through other connections and other classes and now ways to use the information from this experience for others. So.
That's
yeah.
right.
So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Mary. Okay. So. Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Lucy. So I wanted to bring Lucy and Mary on and share that with you, that clip, just to kind of show what can happen. And I love Mary's story and Lucy's too. Of how moving through a difficult, or in Mary's case, it was a memory that she had never really released, and kind of remaking her relationship to that story and bringing her to so much new joy and freedom. I want to look at how to put all of these things together in our lives, and so we're going to take a little kind of like halftime break here. And then we'll come back to this. We still have our guided visualization to do, so you'll definitely want to stick around for that. And it will leave you in a pretty deep place, and that's why we're going to do it at the end. But first, I want to invite you to look with me at, for those of you who would like to go further on this, I just want to let you know, sooner rather than later, where we're going and how all of the goddess energies fit together. So for those of you who are at a computer, I invite you to come with me on the website over to a page called Reliable Divine Guidance. And it's www.reliable, R-E-L-I-A-B-L-E, Reliable Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, Divine Guidance. G-U-I-D-A-N-C-E, ReliableDivineGuidance.com. And if you are driving or out walking, listening to this later on your MP3 player, you can look at this when you get back home. This is Saturday morning, and somebody a couple of folks on the Thursday call told me that it was hard to find. One or two people were making spelling mistakes. So if you're having trouble finding ReliableDivineGuidance.com, you can just go to my website, which is lauracornell.com. And when you get there at the top of the page, lauracornell.com, there's a link to Reliable Divine Guidance. And this is actually a course. It's a 4-week course where we're going to be going really deeply into the Divine Feminine in all of her aspects. And for those of you who were able to see any of the video series on Navaratri, all of those little excerpts were taken from this course. And I'm really excited to have this course because we're going to be bringing together, weaving all the different energies of the goddesses into one template, one framework. So just scroll down the page with me here. You can read this later if you want, to where it says Module 1. So we're actually starting now with Module 1, Turn Loss, Illness, and Failure into Gold with Goddess Kali. And today we still have some stories from two women, and then we're going to do a visualization on a past loss and really how see the sweetness in that. And we will, in the course, we will also go a little bit more deeply. We're going to do another exercise in the course on betrayal and loss, and looking at betrayal and seeing it as a very high form of spiritual initiation. And I've actually experienced this in my own life. It's extremely powerful. Then we're going to be looking at Lakshmi and how to attract fulfillment and beauty with Lakshmi, how to access and affirm the truth of your soul so the life you create is one you truly want. Wouldn't that be great? It is great. And talk about why we don't want to ignore Lakshmi, why it's dangerous, and how to apply her principles in our lives, and how to live from a place of generosity and service. And then what happens when you do that is the universe just comes back with beauty and bliss. Amazing. We're going to be doing several practices for getting guidance in our lives, how to really connect with our intuition and inspiration, and that's Saraswati, goddess of knowledge, learning, and art and inspiration. And then we're going to be grounding into the true power of our lives, which is Durga, that discrimination. So Durga, remember the story that I told about Kali. Durga is related to Kali. She's power, she's strength. She can be showing up in our lives as anger. But it's a more manageable form of anger. It's not quite so wild and out of control. It's that when we make a choice to protect something, when we make a choice to do something because we care about a cause or the planet in a certain way, so we set out with a very strong, positive energy, when we really get this energy of Durga, we become unstoppable. Okay? And that's really what I'm all about, is helping women become unstoppable in their lives. And I just want to say, I know there are likely some men on the call, and you're welcome too. The divine feminine is absolutely needed by men. So the course includes all of those four modules. And what it is, there's four 75-minute group mentoring calls, just like this. And we'll be bringing you on the call live, so we can, if you'd like to, come on and share your experience as we go through the homework and the visioning, you'll be there. And in case you can't make any of the calls live, they will all be recorded. You can listen over and over. We will have journaling exercises, journaling templates. They'll be available for you to download. And there's going to be a members' site where you can share with other people in the community what you're learning. And I will be on that site responding to you and going through the journey. And for the first 30 people, there's a special call on Diwali. We'll get a jump start on the course with that call. So for those of you who would like to participate, it's $147, and there's an amazing early bird price of $97, which is available through Wednesday, October 26th. And I just want to tell a little story here about intuition, because I want to encourage you to listen to your intuition in making a decision about this course. I really want to encourage you just to tune in here. One of the things we're going to be going over in depth is Saraswati, which is that the knowledge, the divine inspiration behind our thoughts and behind our decisions. And so many times we doubt our decisions, and what happens is we say, oh, I'll decide later. And then what that does is it clutters up our mind with all sorts of things to decide about later. And so I really want to encourage you just to trust your intuition right now. Are you called to participate in this course? And if so, let yourself make that decision right now and just surrender to it. And if it's, you know, if it's not right for you, just celebrate that. I would love to include you, so I'll just say that right now, because I'm really looking forward to those of you who do join me to really going deeper with you as we go through this course. And if the course is, you know, not for you, I bless you. And I want to tell you about a time when I trusted my own intuition. It was a year and a half ago, and I had just really made a decision to trust my intuition because I noticed that I wasn't and that I was going around constantly second-guessing myself. And so I said I had made a decision to really center into that. And then I had a dear friend who was 12. She had gone backpacking with my husband and I and another one of our nieces, and I was helping her clean her room because she was moving from living with her dad to living with her mom. And she had all these hair dyes. She had just dyed her hair blue. And she said, "Laura, can I dye your hair? I'd like to dye, you know, you can dye your hair." She wanted to dye my hair. And here was this lovely 12-year-old saying, you know, "Join me on this adventure." And it was the summer, and I thought, I'd like to do that. I thought, oh, I shouldn't do that. Maybe I'll call my husband and ask. And I just thought, no, I'm going to ask my intuition. So I went inside, and I just thought, what do I want to do here? I thought, yes, you know, I'm going to dye my hair. And so I opened my eyes, and I said, yes, I would, Hannah, I would love to dye my hair. And so without telling anyone, I came home with completely blue hair. And I have to tell you, it was one of the funnest things I ever did. It lasted, it was a little bit too bright for about the first 2 weeks, honestly. A friend told me she thought she was going to dinner with somebody from a Dr. Seuss book. It really was that bright. And I even had a job interview for a project a few days later. But it turned out it was one of the funnest things I ever did. I had so much joy and freedom from just letting myself dye my hair blue. And I never regretted it. It was really a fun adventure. So I invite you now just to tune in to your intuition. Is this a journey to deepening with the divine feminine that you'd like to join me on? And thank you for that. And we're going to come back now. We have what I want to do now is we're going to do a short visualization. This is going to be a time for you to kind of go into some process, and then we'll close with a poem. What I'm going to do is encourage you just to come into a seated position if you can. If you're driving, maybe don't close your eyes, but for the rest of you, come into a seated position. You might want to take a journal. We're not going to be stopping right now and taking time for writing, but this is something that you could, when we're finished, you could write about it in your journal. And for those of you who are going to be continuing in the Reliable Divine Guidance course, I would love to see your journal and your experience with this exercise, and we'll be sharing that with each other in the course and on the site that we're going to have, the community site. So if you do want to get a journal and have that near you for when you're done, and then come into a comfortable position. I'm sitting, so just find a place to sit wherever you are. Close the eyes. And feeling your breath flowing in and out. Relaxing the physical body. Relaxing the emotional body. Relaxing the mind. And becoming aware of a loving wisdom presence that's here for all of us, all of the time, and that's here for you now. Just becoming aware of some form of loving wisdom with you. And if you have a nourishing figure that you work with, it might be an image of a goddess. It might be your grandmother. Maybe an animal that comes to you and guides you in your meditation. So if there is something like that that you work with, inviting that loving presence to be with us. And just feeling that sense of Mother Kali holding you, caring for you. And I'd like you to let your mind relaxedly notice some of the bigger losses in your life. And staying very gentle, not going into any of them right now, just notice some of the things that you have gone through in your life. Maybe notice a physical illness or a challenge in your body that you've experienced. And I'm going to ask you not to pick one you're working with right now for this exercise. Just look at past or recent past. So physical challenge. Notice emotional relationship losses that you've had. Just gently scanning and holding with love in your awareness these events. Notice death of loved ones. Gently. Be very gentle. We're not going into the story right now. Loss of relationship or job. Just notice. Moving. And I'm going to ask you to let one of these events, one loss, come to your mind. Probably not the biggest one, because we're learning this exercise. I don't want you to pick one that was perhaps the most difficult, but one that comes to you for a little deeper connection. And if you're familiar, if you get comfortable with this process, you could go back and do a different loss another time. But just allow one loss, one experience to come to your awareness, and it might even surprise you. Just let it be an intuitive process which one comes forward. And so go back and lovingly, with this loving wisdom presence, look back at what were the circumstances of that loss, what was happening. What were the physical symptoms, the life circumstances? What were you really losing? What was getting cut out of your life? Just notice. Continue to breathe and feel your body. And ask yourself, where did I put up a struggle? So without judging yourself, just notice the ways that you fought that loss. Just notice. Remember. Then notice the ways that you did surrender to the loss. Just breathe into those and notice them. How did you go with the flow? How did you accept the release? And then noticing, what did I do to become nourished? How did I nourish myself? How did I take care of myself? Perhaps better than I would normally. Where was I tender? Where did I receive tenderness from others? Receive support? Did I let myself cry and be held like a baby? And then noticing, where did I let down my hair? Where did I let myself get a little wild and dance and kick up my heels with Kali? Just notice the ways you let yourself loose. And asking now, where did I show great courage in this situation and determination? Where did I face my fears? And then asking yourself, what amazing gem of insight and wisdom and strength came from this experience? Just letting the mind be quiet and just noticing what comes up. What did I learn about myself, and how did this contribute to who I am today? And finally, just notice if there's any question you would like to ask Loving Wisdom about this situation. What it meant for you, or some other question that might still be in your heart, your mind about that situation. Just let the question arise and hear it. And when we're done with this call, you might want to actually pick up your journal and write yourself a letter that would start dear and then your name. And then write yourself a letter from the Loving Wisdom part of yourself answering that question. I'd love to hear how this goes for you. And again, for those of you who are continuing on in the course, Reliable Divine Guidance, I'm going to be writing up everything we just did as a journal template, and we'll be having, so you'll be getting that in a written form, and we'll be doing visualization like this on different topics as we go through the course. So again, for those of you who want to see the course or find out more about it, it's www.reliabledivineguidance.com, and if you can't find it, just go to my website, lauracornell.com, and at the top of the homepage, there's a link there to the course. So we're going to end with a poem. This is from Vivekananda, was a great teacher who came from India to the United States, considered one of the earliest bringers of yoga to the West. And he loved Kali. And Kali was, his teacher was Ramakrishna, who I read earlier this morning. Ramakrishna loving the dark black of the sky and the dark black of the deep ocean and the dark black of Kali. So this is Vivekananda. Kali the mother. The stars are blotted out. Clouds are covering clouds. It is darkness, vibrant, sonant. In the roaring, whirling wind are the souls of a million lunatics, just loose from the prison house, wrenching trees by the roots, sweeping all from the path. The sea has joined the fray and swirls up mountain waves to reach the pitchy sky. The flash of lurid light reveals on every side 1,000,000 shades of death, begrimmed and black, scattering plagues and sorrows, dancing mad with joy. Come, mother, come. For terror is thy name. Death is in thy breath. And every shaking step destroys a world forever. Thou time, the all-destroyer. Come, O mother, come. Who dares misery love and hug the form of death? Dance in destruction's dance. To him the mother comes. To him the mother comes. So again, I'm Laura Cornell, and I send you so many blessings today, wherever you are listening to this call. So many blessings for your spiritual journey, your adventure of life. Please be in touch. I send you great love. Namaste.